Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Glenn Cook joins us. He's the executive editor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
With Nevada's only transplant center and verified burn center, the science is here. With award-winning cardiologist and the state's only dedicated heart failure clinic, the talent is here. With Nevada's most advanced robotic surgery, the technology is here. And with the Silver State's only designated pediatric trauma center, hope is here. All because we are here. UMC.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years.
Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Ahern Hotel in downtown Las Vegas. We are delighted, as always, to welcome back to the program Glenn Cook. He is the executive editor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Really a pleasure to have you back, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back on, Sam.
It's been a very tough time for you and the newspaper and the newspaper family. I wanted to kind of zero in initially on a specific thing regarding the death of Jeff Gurman, and that is the fact that Metro and the DA's office are trying to get into the phones, computers, notebooks of a reporter who did nothing but investigative pieces for as long as anybody can remember. What does that open as far as a Pandora's box go for you?
Well, it's our highest level concern right now, and we've been working to stop this examination of Jeff's devices, almost since his murder. We had a couple of weeks of good faith talks with the state parties, but we were unable to reach an agreement. Fortunately, right now we have an injunction in place. We have a permanent injunction in place, and Metro has agreed to not search these devices, a cell phone, four personal computers, and an external hard drive. They've agreed they're not going to look at these devices until we get a court order that says they can do so, or if we have our way, that they can do so only under very strict circumstances that honor the Shield Law. Right now, Metro, the district attorney, and the public defender's office essentially want to be able to function as though the Shield Law doesn't exist and that its privileges essentially terminate on the death of a reporter. So imagine the precedent that essentially they're asking for, which is you murder a journalist, you get to take the reporter's Shield Law privileges with the journalist's life, and as a criminal defendant, you get to go looking through a reporter's unpublished material, confidential contacts. Incredibly dangerous potential precedent we're looking at. There has never been a case litigated like this in United States history, as far as we can determine. And the entire national media industry is going to be watching as this plays out before the Nevada Supreme Court now to see what they say about shield law privilege. It's important to note that as written, the Nevada shield law, one of the strongest, if not the strongest shield law in the country, strongest state shield law. As you know, there's no federal shield law.
Right.
But if the Nevada Supreme Court were to do anything to weaken the shield law as part of this criminal prosecution of Robert Tellis, who's accused of murdering Jeff Gehrman, it could be the type of precedent that could make create open season on reporter materials around the country, and we're very, very worried about that.
And it's not just about this particular case, is it? It's about how many other cases he was working on, what kind of informants had been talking to him because he'd been doing investigative journalism for so long. It's a huge Pandora's box.
It is, and what's really important to note here is that the public defender and the state, they want to go on a fishing expedition. You know, they don't have any idea what specifically they're looking for. They just keep saying they want to get in, they want to look at it, and they want to see everything unencumbered, right? An unrestricted search. But one of the fundamental problems with their ask is that Jeff, over the course of his 40-plus year career, reported on all of these entities. Jeff has high-level sources in the Las Vegas Police Department, in the District Attorney's Office, in the Public Defender's Office, in the Nevada Judiciary. And if going through simply Jeff's contacts on his cell phone, his contact list is as deep as any reporter's in the state, right? But does the mere presence of a name in Jeff's cell phone contacts, could that subject a person to potential retaliation if a government entity or someone else in a position of power were to learn that that name was on Jeff's contacts, even if there's no evidence of phone calls occurring or text messages occurring? It's certainly possible. And so the threat of career harm and retaliation to people in Jeff's contacts, whether or not they were confidential sources of his, is very
right.
real.
Well, and the precedent that it would set for newspapers and news organizations across the country would be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, and news organizations around the country are already having to confront a lot of things depending on how this case works out. But you know, how do you treat an employee's personal device? You know, how do you treat their cell phone? What do you do to make sure that they are not doing any work product on a personal device that at some point could be seized by law enforcement? It's very troubling, and it is very much, as you said, a Pandora's box.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because in talking to several people who work at a high level for government agencies in Nevada, they keep personal email accounts, Gmail accounts, versus their cell phone and their regular email accounts that they use for work, because those could be subpoenaed in a court situation. So this is not something that people aren't already aware of.
Well, and fortunately, the Nevada Supreme Court, you know, has ruled that anyone in government who uses a personal email account or a personal device to conduct government business, that the resulting product is considered public record. I mean, that's been litigated and that's been determined. What we're really concerned about is the communications that we know Jeff has had with high-level public officials around the state to obtain confidential information, and the recognition that not all of the, certainly nowhere near all of the information that Jeff or any reporter receives from a confidential source is something that ends up being published or being published directly attributable to that source.
Or being accurate for that matter.
Correct. So a lot of times a reporter will get a tip, get information from a confidential source on the condition that it can't be published solely from that source, right? But reporters will then undertake the lengthy process of trying to confirm the legitimacy of the information and then reaching out to multiple other sources to find people who will talk about it on the record to make the story stronger and publishable. So the role of a confidential source is not simply to provide information that is absolutely published all the time and attributable to a confidential source. A lot of time it's information that simply sets us on a path to reporting out a story. All of our reporters utilize confidential sources. All of them do.
There was a case a few years ago where Apple refused to open an iPhone in a particular court case. But in the end, hackers were able to open that iPhone. So that opens up other doors that have to concern you.
Yeah, at this point, we have no reason to believe that authorities are not going to be able to access these devices if they're granted permission.
Right, right.
We are operating, our entire legal strategy is operating under the assumption that if they are given permission to access this information, they will be able to do so.
Now, you have made offers, as I understand it, that a special master of some kind, a judge perhaps from Northern Nevada, somebody who's not intimately involved with this, could look over the material and bring forth whatever might be needed by these entities, because somebody does deserve, whether they appear to be guilty or not, it's alleged at the time, that they should have a right to a defense until proven guilty or otherwise. Can you explain what you've offered at this point in time?
Sure. So it is important to note that no one wants justice for Jeff Gehrman more than the Las Vegas Review-Journal, right? And we've made it clear that this is not an absolute, a fight of absolutes where we're saying you can't get anything and they're saying we want everything, right? What we have offered is we've said, look, we have a high degree of confidence that the vast, vast majority of information that is contained on Jeff's cell phone and his computers is of absolutely no bearing to this criminal prosecution. So what we have proposed is, let us or our representative look through all the materials first and forward anything that could be of interest to the prosecution or the defense to a neutral, independent special hearing master, someone with no direct ties to Metro, the district attorney's office, the public defender's office, or the state judiciary, someone of independence, and let them look at that material and decide whether it is relevance to the prosecution or the defense.
And what's been the response?
The response has been so far that Metro Police in particular have made it very clear that they want people under Metro's employment to be the ones who are going through those devices. And our position has been, we're not okay with that because Jeff had so many sources in Metro. And the idea that, hey, if we promise to do this, under a protective order, right? We'll look at everything and, hey, we promise not to tell anybody what the names of sources or any confidential that information that we see. Retaliation can take many forms and it can take place over a very long period of time. That's not a promise we're willing to accept.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll look at some other angles of this case with Glenn Cook from the Review Journal after this timeout.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com. I'm here at the Carson Valley Inn in Minden with Joey Whitaker. Entertainment here at the Carson Valley Inn is extraordinary.
Yeah, super proud of the TJ's Corral, our outdoor venue, about 1,500 seats. We've had first-class entertainment out there. We've had Merle Haggard, we've had Chris Young, we've had Lee Bryce a couple times, we've had Pat Benatar, Joan Jett, who's in the Hall of Fame. We're real proud out there, and it's just a great time. Watch CarsonValleyInn.com. And grab those tickets early. It's not a long way to get away to the Carson Valley Inn.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Glenn Cook. He is the executive editor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Obviously, the Review-Journal has been covering this story of the murder of Jeff Gurman extensively since it occurred. But in particular, what I found fascinating was a story that David Ferrara wrote. And it gave an insight into just how large your newsroom is for a metro of 2 million plus people. You have 120 people in your newsroom. And it's not just reporters, it's multiple layers of people. Can you share with us how this story was covered internally as well as in the paper by your reporters who were determined, as much as Metro was, to find out who the murderer was?
So, obviously incredibly, incredibly difficult time for the newsroom, and a lot of us are still processing our own grief in our own way. And a lot of us are still in disbelief that Jeff's gone. You know, it's been very hard to reconcile such a violent end for a trusted and valued colleague and friend. So when Jeff's murdered, he's murdered the Friday of Labor Day weekend. His body is found Saturday. We learn of his murder Saturday night, inform staff in the overnight hours.
Okay, I'm sorry, I have to interrupt. What was your response when you first heard the news? You must have just been devastated.
I was just completely shocked and grief-stricken. I got a call from Sheriff Joe Lombardo early Saturday evening. That Jeff was dead, even though the sheriff told me in that moment that they couldn't rule out anything in terms of the possibility of how he died, and that his body had been taken to the coroner, I really wasn't in that moment strongly considering the possibility that he'd been murdered. And then when we learned he was murdered, obviously, it takes on a new level of urgency for the news organization, and we immediately have to entertain the possibility that he was murdered for doing his job. that he was targeted by someone he had written about. Obviously a very, very troubling thing for a news organization to confront. And so the news organization, people are learning about this over the holiday weekend. You know, Sunday's a day of shock and grief, and it immediately starts to transition Monday on the Labor Day holiday, into fear. Fear of, who did this to Jeff? Why was Jeff killed? Is there anybody else in the news organization who could potentially be a target? Lots of conversations, very hard conversations, in the households of our staff, of our staff members, for the first time having conversations with their spouses, significant others, their children, about, is it possible that you could be targeted based on a story that you've done at some point in your career? Things that we've never really seriously considered before. Then on Monday, Metro releases the first image of the suspect wearing the orange work shirt, gloves, carrying a bag, wide-brimmed straw hat. And everything changes in the news organization at that moment. It flips a switch, and everybody's focused on how do we figure out who this person is. And from that moment on, it's this warp speed breaking news story that over the next 48 hours is just moving at a pace that leaves a blur.
And your staff were as much the police at that point as the police were. I mean, it was remarkable. And this is why I wanted to mention about with people not understanding, because of how large your newsroom is, that there are multiple layers. It's not just reporters. It's editors and editors in all these different areas, whether it's Metro or crime, evening editors.
Photographers and videographers.
Yeah, and they're all talking to each other and trying to figure this out. Please share the story about the photographers who ended up within the police lines and
sure.
figured out who the person was. Allegedly, by the way.
So, a handful of staffers zero in on Clark County Public Administrator Robert Tellis very quickly. And they do so for a number of reasons. Robert Tellis is a small man, and comparing the images of the suspect to images that we had of him and his build, that transitions into Tuesday when police release a video of this suspect walking through Jeff Gurman's neighborhood, as well as the suspect vehicle, and we very quickly identify the vehicle as Robert Tellis's vehicle.
And his walk.
We had
Which is astonishing, by the way.
We had a video of Robert Tellis walking through his office as part of the story that Jeff Gurman did on Mr. Tellis and his poor behavior and poor management of that office from earlier this year. And when you compared the video of the walk to the video of the suspect walking through the neighborhood, it was breathtaking, the similarity.
Okay.
So we stake out Robert Tellis's house at that point, and police are there as well. And this leads to the search of his home on the Wednesday morning after Labor Day. And as part of that, to your original question, our photographer, Kevin Cannon, who's a very experienced photojournalist, and our police reporter, Brett Clarkson, they know that at some point, police are going to push everybody out of the neighborhood. And so they strike a quick friendship with someone in Tellis's neighborhood who agrees to let them hide in their house while police are trying to get Tellis extracted from his house. And so Metro doesn't have a right to push anybody out of private property And because we had the permission to be on that property, we were able to remain there. And then we were able to come out when Talis is removed from the home on a stretcher by paramedics get the images of him being loaded into an ambulance and taken to a hospital and then jail.
All right, let's take another break and we'll be right back.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, our final moments with Glenn Cook. He's the executive editor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We're out of time. I just want to say best of luck with this case. The Shield Law is so important for reporters across this country and around the world. And we just wish you the best of luck with this and our best to everybody at the RJ as they recover from this horrible tragedy.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for having me.
All right. And we'll be right back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Nevada Newsmakers Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. We'll see you on the next show.